you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
And our series on Pacoima continues as we highlight environmental hazards the community has experienced over the decades. The predominantly Latino neighborhood is one of the most pollution-burdened in all of California. Now, the series is part of Covering Climate Now, a global collaborative of more than 400 media outlets focusing attention on the climate emergency. And it's all pegged to Earth Day, which is today. So with that, we're going to go back in with local environmental justice group Pacoima Beautiful, which you heard Carolyn Champlin mentioned in her piece earlier in the show. Andres Ramirez is the policy director. The organization's lead project planner is Dora Fritz Armenta, and Gabriel Carrillo is a community organizer with the group. Now, I spoke with the three of them earlier this week, and Gabriel started us off by explaining how Pacoima Beautiful got its start.
So Pacoima Beautiful was actually founded in 1996 by a group of moms. Every morning when they would walk their kids to school, they would see the trash, the pollution in the streets. They realized this is not a place we would like to have our kids grow up. So they started doing just community cleanups, just little things, gathering people who were willing to make a small change. Eventually, it snowballed into something much bigger, which is the Pacoima Beautiful we know today.
Now, before we get into all the work you all are doing, I want to start with a snapshot of Pacoima. So, Andres, let's start with you. Paint us a picture of Pacoima today.
It's a community found in the northeast San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. It has a long history of being surrounded by toxic facilities, like there's a domestic airport, there's landfills, the freeways, there's a gas plant, a gravel pit. So all these facilities create a perfect storm in terms of impact on a particular community, both environmentally and health-wise. Pacoima has some of the higher rates of asthma and lung disease that you could find in all of Los Angeles County. And all that was really magnified with COVID, right? We find it a correlation between the high number of cases and deaths that have occurred in Pacoima during this COVID pandemic with the impact of these toxic facilities.
And Andres, when you mentioned freeways, I lived in Panorama City for a while. That area right up there, it's not as if the freeways are just free flowing and you don't have to worry about all the fumes. That is a choke point in the part of the San Fernando Valley where there is tons of traffic all the time.
Correct. It's actually the intersection of three freeways, the 118, the 5, and the 210. All these not only have regular traffic of people commuting, but also very heavily commuted by heavy diesel trucks, which really caused a lot of impact on the air quality.
Now, Dora, walk us through some of the environmental issues that Pacoima deals with today.
You know, on top of COVID, we've also seen issues around the Valley gas plant where there was a leak for years and the community didn't know about that. And there was also the plane crash at Whiteman Airport that, you know, not only our community members kind of, you know, shocked, you know, they constantly hear the noise pollution and the pollution that just comes from those small planes. There's, you know, the everything else, the freeways and the car dismantlers.
Yeah, and Dora, I mean, you walk around that neighborhood of Pacoima and you mentioned all of the different things that are there that, you know, are businesses there, that are industries there, but people have to breathe in the after effects of all that stuff.
Exactly. And so, you know, as an organization, that's what we focus to change, to let folks know about how we can enact change around some of these issues, whether it's rallying kind of our community base to make sure that we're asking the Valley gas station to make changes to move towards green energy. You know, we want to make sure that this is a community that folks can raise families and that, you know, has a brighter, greener future.
Andres, what are some of the sources of pollution in Pacoima?
A lot of it is the emissions from the facilities, right? So like Dora mentioned, Whiteman Airport is a domestic airport that runs 24/7. There's the emissions that come from the planes. They're small planes, but still, it's regular emissions. They also have a fueling facility and an oil recycling facility on site. The Valley Generating Station is emitting, you know, greenhouse gases from the natural gas burning process, including methane and gases that are invisible but constantly being exposed. And then there's also the landfills, right, where a lot of the waste from the county is brought and incinerated, and all those fumes are being put out into the air. On top of that, of course, is the regular emissions from the exhaust from the cars, like we mentioned earlier, right? There's the regular traffic of people from this choking point of all the freeways out here in the valley, and specifically from the diesel trucks, right? The big commercial diesel trucks that emit heavy amount of contaminants into the air.
Gabriel, what concerns have community members expressed when it comes to these sources of pollution in the neighborhood?
The biggest concern for most community members has been the particulate matter in the air. A lot of it recently because of the Valley Generating Plant, but there's also the emissions from the cars and the fact that all of these folks that live in this area are what people would call essential workers. They're constantly in danger of these particulate matters. It's not like they really can leave the area. They don't have time to go elsewhere or move elsewhere. So the air is the biggest concern for most people.
Andres, as policy director for the organization, what are some of the changes that you're currently advocating for?
Well, one of the major changes really is shifting the city and county from burning fossil fuels to clean energy future. Really taking the lead from what the rest of the country is doing, or the rest of the world is doing, frankly, right? In terms of combating the impacts of climate change. The city of Los Angeles has recently passed the LA Green New Deal, which creates climate goals for the city. There was a recent study called the LA 100 study that identifies 2035 as the year that LA can go 100% clean energy. These are the type of policies that we're really advocating for, on top of also actionable items like closing the gas plants in our community, you know, closing toxic facilities and thinking of better, cleaner alternatives for their community.
And Andres, I would suppose that, say, when big ideas such as the Green New Deal and the different versions of it that are around the United States, that those kinds of deals have an eye toward communities like Pacoima, because sometimes communities like Pacoima are overlooked in these overall solutions.
Yes, there's a long history of communities like Pacoima being overlooked. You know, I think a big question is this idea of equity really has come to the forefront. And it's really tied in also to the conversation of racial justice, right? The racial injustice in the society that we live in right now, how it manifests in terms of how the city has been planned, right? And where toxic facilities are, and, you know, how they're impacting our community. The burden on communities like Pacoima, and it's not only Pacoima, right? It's communities of color throughout the Los Angeles region, like South LA, like Wilmington, like Boyle Heights, El Monte, that are working class communities of color that are surrounded by toxic facilities. And, you know, our push is that whatever solutions are created, prioritize these communities first, because it's not only a health and environmental impact, but it's also been a economic impact, right? If there's an opportunity to shift to a new industry that can create jobs, we really believe those jobs should be concentrated in the communities that were impacted first. This is an opportunity to start breaking down those cycles of poverty that have really burdened a lot of our communities.
We're speaking with Pacoima Beautiful's policy director, Andres Ramirez, lead project planner Dora Fritz Armenta, and community organizer Gabriel Carrillo. Dora, what about you? What are some of the projects that you're working on and some of your goals there?
Pacoima Beautiful is working with a group of 9 partner organizations that make up the Green Together Collaborative. We received funds from the Strategic Growth Council, and it was a $23 million grant that we received, focused specifically to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Pacoima and in Sun Valley. So these grants fund 6 projects and 3 transformative plans. And this project really is just aimed to bring green infrastructure to the valley and just ensure that we have community involvement throughout the entire process of the grant. Some of those projects include installing 175 solar panels on single family homes and planting over 2,000 trees in the next 5 years. So it's real changes we can see in the community that in the long run are going to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions.
Dora, I know that you want to make Pacoima a lot more walkable, make the pedestrian experience more enjoyable. What's that experience like right now when it comes to access to sidewalks, trees, and greenery in Pacoima?
Well, the area does not have a lot of parks, open space. It doesn't have a lot of trees. And so one of the projects, the funded projects as part of the Green Together Collaborative, we have one that's looking at pedestrian mobility improvements, which look at those things exactly, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's bringing wayfinding signs, bike racks, seating areas, improvement to ADA ramps, things of that nature, because parts of Pacoima and Sun Valley don't have sidewalks. They don't have trees, you know, in the sidewalks. And so bringing these things not only just improve the area visually, but also bring a lot of really great benefit from, you know, having cooler summers because the valley does get really hot. And just having, pedestrians have a more enjoyable experience trying to get to and from their destinations.
Gabriel, tell us now about your work.
So I'm actually the lead on the Pacoima Electroshare program. It's a unique program because it's the first completely solar-powered vehicles in the LA area, as well as the first EV cars that are available to the community here in the San Fernando Valley. The vehicles are actually very beneficial to the community because being a community full of essential workers and low-income families, it is very affordable. It uses clean energy, and there are no emissions released from the vehicles.
What kind of an impact could that mean, Gabriel? We talk about how, you know, the area of Pacoima with all the freeways and all the just the exhaust fumes just spreading everywhere. To have this kind of project, electro rideshare, what kind of an impact do you think it could make on emissions in Pacoima?
It would reduce the amount of smog in the area. The particulate matter would be reduced. Just overall cleaner energy across the board. People would be able to travel further out. And if we can get the particulate matter, just the smog, all of that down, which is the main concern for a lot of these folks, then it would just be easier to live in these communities. No more fear of getting asthma or other, you know, related illnesses.
All right. Now, we've talked a lot of what needs to change, some goals in mind as well. So, Andres, I want to ask you, what changes do you think really need to happen? What are some actions that you want to see from local officials to make some of these goals become reality?
One thing that we realized, and it's come up in our conversation before, right, but the prioritization of frontline communities like Pacoima is very important. The history of our city or leaders is always the haves keep on getting first dibs when it comes to resources or new technologies. And really to move the needle when we're talking about climate impact, it really has to be the communities most impacted that need to be prioritized. And that's something that's important. And then I think the other piece is understanding that in our communities, environmental issues don't happen in a silo, right? And there's multiple factors that must be taken into account, like housing, like jobs, transportation, et cetera, right? Parks, like was mentioned. These are all things in our communities because of years of disinvestment or lack of care that need to be redressed, that need to be fixed and prioritized. And I think that's the important piece that we want to see, that we're going to keep pushing our decision makers into doing, right? Of do the right thing and do it first in the communities that have carried the burden the longest.
Gabriel, what about you? How do you make sure that Pacoima's needs become prioritized?
I think the biggest thing here is to make sure that we as a community are on the same page. We all have the same voice. We all have the same concerns. So we can get together and just voice it at these forums and other things that the city is constantly having, then that's the way that we can do it.
Have either of you, Andres and Gabriel, heard from any officials about some of your goals? Who are you talking to right now?
We actually have strong leadership in our community for the first time in a long time, right? The current council president for the city council, Miri Martinez, represents one of the districts in our communities. And I think that's something that I do want to bring up, right? I think for us, it's not only about Pacoima, right? We actually really feel that these are the issues for the whole of Northeast San Fernando Valley, including Panorama City, Arleta, Sun Valley, Sylmar, right? And I think that's an important piece because the other person that we're engaged with a lot is our county supervisor, Sheila Kuhl, who represents not only the valley, but also a lot of the coastal communities and the west side. And I think that's where we see the differences in terms of how investment is being played out, right? So they are definitely championing a lot of these issues and helping us move on this, right? They've been leaders when it's come to addressing like the Valley Gas campaign or even now with the White Man Airport, right? And as well as advocating for the bringing investments to the community. I'd also like to say the other decision maker that we really have a great relationship with is Councilwoman Monica Rodriguez, who has actually written policies calling for the shutdown of White Man Airport, considering all the dangers and impact it's had on the community. So we really do have strong leadership from the local level all the way even to the federal level. I mean, the new Senator Padilla is actually from Pacoima, is actually from these communities, right? And has roots with Pacoima Beautiful. And I think that's an important connections that we're trying to make to leverage to make sure that our communities are prioritized, our communities are being transformed in positive ways.
All right, last word goes to you, Dora. What are some immediate and long-term actions that could address the environmental risks Pacoima experiences today?
I think a lot of that work, you know, we're already doing a lot of the work that we do around policy and, you know, a lot of the work that we do with our community, that ensures that we kind of start moving the needle little by little. But, you know, just this grant alone in itself is a huge win for the San Fernando Valley. Yeah, you know, our project is specifically in Pacoima and Sun Valley, but, you know, those benefits I really believe are going to be felt in other areas nearby.
We've been talking to Andres Ramirez, Policy Director at Pacoima Beautiful, Lead Project Planner Dora Fritz Armenta, and Gabriel Carrillo, Community Organizer with the group. My thanks to all three of you.
Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
For having us.
Thank you for having us.
And to learn more about Covering Climate Now, you can go to las.com to see more of our coverage and also hashtag Climate Emergency Week for stories from the U.S. and around the world. That's las.com, L-A-I-S-T.com.
The LAIST Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAIST.com/sweeps.